الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار، أما بعد. أيها الإخوة والأخوات في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, we'll be taking another topic from the book Manhaj al-Salikin by Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. Bab al-Ariya wal-Wadi'a. The topic or the chapter is the chapter of al-Ariya. Aria or Ariyatun, that is with Tashdeed al-Ya, applying Shadda on the Ya before the Ta. Aria or without the Shadda, Ariyatun. This means a loan, a borrowed item to be returned. A borrowed item to be returned. That is al-Ariya. Al-Wadi'a is from the word wada'a, yani taraka, to leave something. To leave something. So al-Wadi'a يعني المتروكة, something that is left. That is when you keep something with somebody as a trust. This is called al-wadi'a. So al-wadi'a means a trust. What you give to somebody as a trust. What you entrust with somebody. This is called al-wadi'a. The Sheikh says al-ariyatu ibarahatul manasir. Al-ariyatu, that is al-ariya, is ibarahatul al-manasir, is the allowance of the benefit. Allowance of the benefit. When you allow somebody to benefit from a thing, not that you give the person the thing, not that you transfer the ownership of the item to that person, the ownership is still yours. You still have the ownership, you own it. However, you allow another person to benefit from that thing by using it. So this is what al-ariya. وَهِيَ مُسْتَحَبَّةٌ لِدُخُولِ آفِ الْإِحْسَانِ. So this is mustahabba. Ariya is mustahabba. It's something that is encouraged in the Sharia. لِدُخُولِ آفِ الْإِحْسَانِ, because it falls under al-ihsan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Wal-ma'roof, it also falls under a good deed. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, كل معروف صدقة. Any kind deed, kind act is صدقة. So when you act kindly to somebody, you have done what? صدقة, you are doing صدقة. كل معروف صدقة. So when you behave kindly to somebody, you have done صدقة. So you have an item that somebody is in need of it. You want to benefit from that thing, and you allow the person to benefit from it and return it back to you. This is called what? Ma'ariya. So that person, it is something that is mustahab. It is mustahab. If you are the one that owns the item and you give somebody to benefit from it and return it back to you, it's something that is encouraged. Kullu ma'arufin sadaqah. It's something that is rewardable. But for me, the borrower, it is what? It's mubaha, it's permissible. It's not compulsion. It's permissible act. For me to ask somebody to lend me or loan me an item, this is permissible. It is not haram. For you to loan me the item, it's mustahab. It's mustahab for you to loan me the item. It's mustahab. It's something that you get reward for. When people are in need of that thing seriously and one refuses to loan them or to lend them that item, it will be something of a sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes some people with يَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. What is الْمَعُونَ? الْمَعُونَ, these are things that people are in need. As it is established from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that كُنَّ نَعُدُّ الْمَعُونَ, we will consider as ma'un. Things like what? Things like عَرِيَةَ الْقِبِرِ. Like what? Like the porch. Eh? Lending people the porch. And things like that. So people are in need of something and you have it. If you refuse to borrow to lend them, this is what? It's manu'ul ma'ruf. It's not a good quality. It's a quality of those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. These are the munafiqun. Not a good quality. You have something, allow people to benefit from you. If Islam encourages us to give people, that is to transfer ownership of things to people, what about when the ownership of that thing is not going to be transferred to that person? Rather, it's just the benefit of that thing that the person will get, and the ownership still belongs to you. Still belongs to you. So manual ma'ruf, what would benefit people, not allowing it, not giving it to people, is not a good conduct. It's not a good behavior. Unless, if it has become something that somebody is known for, that he always asks for people benefit, always. So that becomes what Islam is. And Islam discourages through Islam discourages what? Frequent begging. So the basis is that it is allowed to beg, to what? To use the benefits of the thing. That's the basis. The basis is that it is recommended that you allow people to benefit from your items. But it may become compulsory when the people are in need of it. Huh? It may become what? Haram. When somebody has taken what? Al-Isti'ara. That is borrowing things. He has taken it as what? As a way of life. How this is clear. So when we talk about Al-Aliya, a borrowed item, the basis is that it is something that should be returned. That's the basis. Because it's not a gift to you. He only allows you to make use of, to benefit from it, not to take possession of it. That's the basis. It's muhadda. Al-Ariyatu Mu'adda. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Al-Ariyatu Mu'adda. From Adda Yu'addi. That is to return something. Al-Ariyatu Mu'adda. That is the borrowed item should be returned to the owner. وَالْمِنْحَةُ مَرْدُودَةً. Likewise, if somebody allows you to make use, to meet with their cow and the like, to benefit from the meat of the cow, or to eat from the date of his tree, if he allows you, that's okay, the date on that tree, you can eat, you know, to produce another one. So it's مَرْدُودَةً. As long as he has not said that he has given you the cow, he has given you the camel, what he has done is what? Allow you to what? To benefit from it. So it's what? Marjuda should be returned. What Bainu Maqdeen. When somebody loans you, you should know that you have to return it. How this is clear. The shahid here is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Al-Ariyatu Mu'adda. The borrowed item should be returned. Now Al-Musta'ir, the one who borrows an item. Yaduhu yadu amana aw yadu daman. His arms. Is it hand of amana or the hand of what? Daman. When we say hand of amana, it means if something happens to the item borrowed, if something happens to the item borrowed, is he going to be responsible or it is not going to be responsible? Now, there is an agreement on the fact that if it is negligent or if it transgresses, then it's donor is responsible. You borrow something from somebody and what, you are negligent about it, and that thing gets destroyed somehow, then you have to fix it. And if it has gone beyond repair, you have to watch. You have to return and miss. Or you turn the qima, the watch. How this is clear? Because you have transgressed. Or because you have been negligent in keeping what you have borrowed from a person.
إذا
يدك يد ضمان then you are responsible. How this is played. But if one is not negligent or there is no transgression on one's part, هل يدك يد أمانة أو يد ضمان؟ Are you responsible or not? Are you responsible or not? Which one? Yadu Aman. Scholars will differ on this. Some said Yadu Kayadu Aman. Some said Yadu Kayadu Daman. Almost if you are not what? If you have not transgressed or you have not been negligent. You got evidence. The hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to borrow some adr, that's from Amos. Huh? From Amos, the you know the Amos that people put on. So he wanted to borrow some Amos from someone with Umayyah. So the man asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Azasubuni, ya Muhammad, aw am ariyatun matmuna, aghasbun ya Muhammad, oh Muhammad, is this ghasb?" Last week we talked about ghasb. Ghasb, we said, is for you to take somebody's property, huh? How to take? Forcefully, that is with force. When we say forcefully, we should not understand it to mean that what? With weapons you... You take something from somebody, that's with what? What is meant by forcefully? Not with weapons. So he said, maybe in the absence or the presence of that person, does not really matter. Like what? Taking somebody's land. Claiming somebody's land. And the person cannot do anything for it and can't talk. Because maybe you are the babonile or monile and things like that. That is gossip. You have taken it forcefully. Because you have what? The power. Not that you carry weapon to threaten the person. Or maybe you want to blow the person and things like that, no. If it involves the carrying of weapons, it becomes what? Iraba. It becomes Iraba. But for you to have taken somebody's right, his property, they call this what? Fahran. The scholars will use what? Akhdhu mali al-ghayr aw haqq al-ghayr qahran. They use the word qahran. That is by force. If by force here is not that what you are using weapons. Is that clear? So and that's why we should differentiate between al-ghasbu, al-nahbu, al-sarqa, al-ikhtilaf, and what? Al-hiraba. When it involves taking somebody's property with what? With a carry of weapons, taking the person with weapons, it becomes what? Hiraba. And Allah said what? إِنَّمَا جَزَاءُ الَّذِينَ يُحَارِبُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَسْعَوْنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَسَادًا أَنْ يُقَتَّلُوا أَوْ يُصَلَّبُوا أَوْ تُقَطَّعَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ أَوْ يُنْفَوْا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ ذَلِكَ لَهُمْ خِزْيٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. This is what Hiraba. That is carrying weapons to threaten somebody to take their property. So the punishment of this one, as Allah has explained, it depends. If he kills, he should be killed. If he takes the property away, the court is asked. Say he doesn't kill the property and he's caught, maybe he'll be imprisoned or banished from the land. So, according to the correct or the most correct interpretation, it depends on the gravity of the crimes that he has committed with the what? The using of weapons in order to take somebody's property. Then Sharada may involve what? Life, the taking of life. That has nothing to do with the taking of life. It has to do with what? The property. Sharada may involve the taking of life and cannot involve the taking of life. How did he say? We also differentiate between Ghazbu and Nahab. Nahab will be the present of the owner of the property. Ghazbu will not necessarily be in the present of the owner of the property. But both of them are what? Kahar. Why? Because Sarqa, taking a foreign person's property without their permission or the very acting without any justification, ikhtilasan, tilti, without the person's knowledge. That is Sarqa. That is what? Sarqa. Huh? Sorry, kufiyatan, you take it kufiyatan. Ikhtilas is for you to take it while the person is what? But bisura, you take it quickly. But the person may not have kept it in what? In the secure place. So all these things, they have different rulings, as we mentioned last week. So the man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Aghasbun ya Muhammad?" The man was a kafir there. So one but Umayyah, he was a kafir. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lend me about 30 or so hadr, that is amos." Said, "Aghasbun ya Muhammad? Do you want to take it, seize it by force? That is, you use your position. Am ariyatun madmuna, or is ariyat that is madmuna, that is guaranteed. So Messenger of Allah said, but ariyatun madmuna, it is a loan that is what? That is guaranteed. Meaning, if anything is lost, I'm going to be responsible for it. I'm going to be responsible for it." So Allah would say, you should, that is Arya is Madmuna, that is guaranteed. Whether you are negligent or not, they use it as evidence. So those who say it is not guaranteed, they also use it as hadith as evidence. He said, the man asked him, "Ariyatun is aghasbun? Aghasbun ya Muhammad, am ariyatun madmuna?" It means the man wants to know that it's like stipulating it. So if you want to borrow something from me, and I say this thing is going to be guaranteed, it means the stipulation. The original ruling is that what? It is something to be returned, but if something happens to it that leads to its destruction or leads to what? It's losing some of its quality and things like that, that I will not be responsible. That's the basis. But if I want to stipulate that it will be guaranteed, that is, I'm free based on that hadith of Safwan bin Umayyah. Now there is one that also said what? A'ayatun mu'addatun am madmuna? Is it ariya to be returned or is guaranteed? He said, bal ariyatun mu'adda. It's ariya that is mu'adda. It happened to the same man, Safwan bin Umayyah, and this is also authentic. So, and that's why the fathers is different on this. For Allahu A'lam, we say the baby should be that watch, that it should be returned. But if it is proven that the person has been negligent, then in that case, it should be guaranteed. Or if the owner stipulated from inception, if the owner stipulated from inception, how this is clear. So the Shaykh Rahimahullah Ta'ala said, وَإِنْ شُرِقَ ضَمَانُهَا دُمِينَهَا ضَمِينَهَا sorry وَإِنْ شُرِقَ ضَمَانُهَا دُمِينَهَا if it is stipulated, if guarantee is stipulated, if it guarantee is stipulated دُمِينَهَا, then the borrower will be responsible. أو تعدى or if it transgresses أو فرط فيها or is negligent دمينها will be responsible وإلا فلا but if not then it is just عارية مؤدى what has been borrowed that will be returned and if anything happens to it without negligence on the part of the borrower or transgression on his part, then it will be that Yaduhu Yadu Aman, his hand is hand of Aman. How this is said. Now the next one is Al-Wadi'a to say. He said Al-Wadi'a is from Wada Ayadahu. ترك يترك الوديعة يعني المتروك and the sharia it means something that you keep with somebody it's something that what you keep with a person it's your own property it's your item but you just want the person to keep it for you or you take it back from the person when the time you both agree on comes. However, there is difference between al-wadi'a and al-qard. Do you know al-qard? Al-qard, what is al-qard? Loan. What is the difference between al-qard and al-ariya? Al-qard, both of them in English they call them loan. But what is the difference in Arabic and in the Sharia? There is difference between al-qard and al-ariya. Al-qard has to do with money.
Al-ariya has to do with other things.
Al-ariya has to do with other items. Al-qard may have to do with some other things too. Al-qard must be paid back. Al-Ariya can what either be paid over. No, that is not the difference. Al-Qard is when you get something but you are going to return mithluhu. You take something from somebody but that item itself will be used. But when you want to pay back, you are returning what? Something similar. That is al-qard. The qard is what? Qard. Is that clear? So if I do qard of this phone now, for instance, to you, when you want to return to me, it's not this phone you are going to return. You return what? Not this particular one. That is this one that I give you. So you are going to give me the same word, something that is all similar to this, that is qard. So in the case of qard, you are not do mithluhu. But in the case of ariya, you are not do anuhu. That thing itself is what you are going to, that thing, the one that is given to you, is what you return. You benefit from it. But in the case of qard, you benefit from that thing and it becomes yours. But you are going to return something similar. That's corruption. It may be money, it may be currency, it may be other than currency. So, and that's why this handkerchief, for instance, it may be, if I give it to you, it may be corruption. So meaning you are returning that handkerchief, that one, that specific one, that, and it may be what? That may be area. It may be area. It may be corruption. If it is corruption, you are returning what? Something similar. Not that one. Something similar. That's corruption. But area. But if there is what? If that, in the case of area, if it gets destroyed or gets lost, he said what? According to the stronger opinion, you look at what? Is a person negligent? Is it transgressed? If yes, then he must return something similar. Or pay his what? That is the case of area. But in the case of Kaudi, it's not required to watch to return that thing itself. Ordinarily what is required is what? To return something similar. That is what is required of him. How this is clear. So now I'm going back to Al-Wazi'ah. I keep a trust with you. We should differentiate between Al-Wazi'ah and what? In the case of Al-Wazi'ah, you don't make use of it the way you make use of Al-Ariya and Al-Farj. Once you make use of Al-Wadiya, a trust that is kept with you, you have what? Turned it to Al-Farj. You have turned it to Al-Ariya. I mean something that you exhaust, for instance, you will return something similar, and that you return similar, you have turned it to Al-Qarj. Is that clear? So, if you turn it to Al-Qarj, that is Khiyana. That is what? Khiyana. That is not Aman. And in the Sharia, Yadul Muda'i, Yadu Amana. Yadul Muda'i, Al-Muda'i. Huh? We have Al-Wadi'a and we have what? Al-Mudi'u and we have what? Al-Mudi'u. Al-Mudi'u is the one that has entrusted something with a person. Al-Mudi'u is the trustee. Huh? Al-Mudi'u, that is the depositor. Al-Mudi'u, that is what? The trustee. Al-Wadi'a is the trust. Yadul Muda'i, the aunt of the trustee, is Yadu Amana. Keep this thing for me. If something happens to it without being negligent, without transgression, no what? No responsibility. Is it clear? No responsibility. But once you make use of that thing, that means what? There's transgression. Because you are not allowed to use it. That's transgression. Are you with me? So, khiyana has come in. Khiyana has come in. So, your yadu becomes what? Yadu daman, no more yadu aman. Is it clear? What if you are allowed to use it? If you are allowed to use it and return something similar? You still call it wadiya, it becomes court. It becomes corrupt. وَيَدُ المستقرج أو المقترج, the hand of the one that has borrowed something from somebody to return something similar, يَدُهُ يَدُ دَمَان. Is it clear? يَدُهُ يَدُ دَمَان. It's going to work, it's going to be responsible. Is it clear? So, you take your money to the bank. You take your money to the bank. Who are you? What are you in this situation? You are a customer. Are you a Muslim or you are a Mukridu? Mukridu or La Mujiru? Are you a depositor in church or you are a lender? What are you? Okay, if you say you are a depositor, that is, you are entrusting the bank with the money. Does the bank use the money? Huh? The bank uses the money. So if the bank uses the money, why do you still consider the bank to be a mudaru, a trustee? The bank is no more a trustee. The bank is what? It's a mukhtarij. It's a borrower. So you are what? A mukridu, a lender. The bank is a mukhtarij. And that's why if anything happens to your money with the bank, do you say what? Qadarullah masha'afal. What do you do? You collect your money. You deposit your money, as you call it. And as you are going out, maybe there is a fire incident and the bank gets burnt to ashes. Are you going to say Qadarullah masha'afal? Or you get your money? That means you are not a mudir. You are what? A mukrid. So that's why Islam does not treat the deposits that you put in the bank, your operating current account, savings account, your operating all these erratic deposit accounts, all these are what? They are called what? Qard. And that's why it is not permissible for you to take anything given to you by the bank under what? Under the guise that what you are banking with them. So because kullu qardin jarra naf'an fa huwa riba. So you are loaning the bank and you are benefiting from them. That's riba. So the only thing you can get from the bank is what the bank gives to everybody. Whether the person is banking with them or not. That's the only thing that. But if you benefit another thing apart from that, because you are their customer, so to say, then you have what? You have entered into full recording, Jarrah Nafran, for who are river. All this is clear. So don't treat yourself as somebody that is saving money with it. You are not saving money with the bank. You are what? You are loaning the bank. And that's why it is not permissible for you to take anything from the bank. Can the bank give you, can you give the bank rather? Can the lender give the bank? Eh? Not less. Okay, you are operating a current account. Who gives? Are you the one that gives for the bank? When you operate a current account, who? Between you, between both of you, gives. You give the bank. You are the lender. At the same time, you are still giving the bank. Is that wrong? Is that river? That is not river. It is permissible for the lender to give the borrower. Somebody borrows from me 10,000 naira and I take back 9,500 naira or 9,900 naira. Is it permissible? Permissible. Because I, the lender, am not benefiting anything from what? From the borrower. Is it clear? So it is important that you understand this. So this is the reason why they will say what? When the bank say what? You are keeping money with them. You are not keeping money with them. The only situation where the bank can be considered a lender is when they operate something like this, credit card. Don't have anything. You have zero what? Zero balance with them. And they still loan you. Huh? Then in that case they are what? They are lender. You are the borrower. So in that case they must not take any what addition to. You must not take any addition. Unless it is going to be service charge that is within what they have used, not what they will use to watch. The boss will be using to maintain himself. That becomes what full recording jara na point wa rima. How did you get this place? So the Sheikh says, woman, whoever is given a wadi'ah for him to keep, he should keep it in a safe place. In a safe place where something like that can be kept. وَلَا يَنْتَفِعُ بِهَا بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِ رَبِّهَا. And he should not benefit from it without the permission of his owner. If he benefits from it with the permission of his owner, it becomes what? He becomes corrupt. If he benefits from it without the permission of his owner, it becomes what? Khiyana. In the case of records, that if he benefits from it with the permission of his owner, it's not sinful. If he benefits from it without the permission of his owner, is what? Sinful. It's khiyana. But both cases, he is going to watch. He's going to pay back. Only that one is not sinful, the other is what? Sinful. So that's why it is very, very important to be a trustworthy person. Some of us that are in charge of the money, the donation of the mosque, don't say, let me quickly use it. It is a wadia, it's a trust. You don't use it. Don't let one of the committee members come to you, or one of the jama'ah come to you that, please, can you give me that money so that I can quickly use it. I will return it to you. Who gives you the permission to do that? This is what amana is, malullah, the word of Allah. You don't have the right to borrow it and return it. It's an amana. Likewise, those who are in charge of jam'iyyat, of its jam'iyyat. You know them? Some of them will say, what, you are collecting zakah on behalf of people. We are doing this, we are doing that. When you collect zakah on behalf of his owner, you are what? You are a muda. That's a trust. You don't give to those who do not deserve it. And you don't spend it for yourself. You don't borrow from it. You don't invest it. And that's why scholars will say, you collect money from zakah money from people, don't say you want the money to be more, let us invest it. Those people do not have the right to say you should invest the money they give you for zakah. They give it out. So you are assisting them in what? In transferring it to the rightful person. But for us to say we want the money to be more, so let us invest it. That is what is haram. It is only sadaqah that you can do, ordinary sadaqah that you can, but that will also deal with what? The approval of the owner. You are collecting the sadaqah from people, and you tell them that this sadaqah, we are going to what? Invest it to make. So whatever proceeds we get from this, we use it to what? Do so and so. All these things are things that you ought to take note of. And when it comes to money matter, this is where a lot of brothers are what found wanting. May Allah protect us. So it's something that is serious. Don't let us take it to it. Levity. Very serious. So one should be what? The muda that keeps the amana, not a muda that becomes the khain. So pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with these that I'm asked. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka rahumma bihamdi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. So the question is, what is the meaning of basmala at the beginning of Fatiha? Now, reciting Bismillah when you want to recite what in Fatiha, this is something that is recommended. While you are in Salah and you are reading aloud, you recite it inwardly. This is what the Jumhurah upon. Contrary to the Maliki school of thought, more of the opinion that you don't recite the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim while you are reciting Surah al-Fatiha in Salah. Why the Shafi'iyya they teach as composing? But other scholars they teach as something that is mustahab to do. So if one does not do it, doesn't mean that the Salah or one has left something that is composing. So as the Shafi'iyya says, and it's not something that is good for one to leave it the way the Malikiyya have said. So it is good to recite it, but you recite it silently. So this position is based on the Hafar that Allah to call for رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وخلف أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان فلم أسمع أحد منهم يجهر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I pray behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم أبو بكر عمر وعثمان I did not hear any one of them reciting بسم الله aloud. This is the hadith of Anas رضي الله عنه. However, there is one other report that says that أَسْمَ أَحْدَ مِنْهُمْ يَقْرَأ. So Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله تعالى did a lot of reconciliation, likewise Ibn Qayyim and some other scholars. For this is what many scholars are upon, Allah أعلم. Now if a date is being served for iftar,
yes, is more than one.
It depends on what the owner wants people to take. If the owner leaves you that you can take as many as will not affect the other people, then it's permissible. You know that there is a date that is up to 500 pieces. And the people around are about 100, and the owner brings it to him. It means that you can take up to 5. Abi, you can take up to 5. So, if you take more than 5, that is when you will totally have what transgressed. So, you can, if the owner sees it as what you can take as many as other people will not be affected, then you can do that. But if the owner sees it as what you taking just one, then you stick to one. Taking more than one will be transgression, wallah.
Related to that is the question, I think that some of the time, or most of the time, it's like for people who teach children, education or something like that, whenever they think that's what the father is, they are you. Is this something that's supposed to be done or restricted to after recitation of the Fatiha in Salah?
Allahu A'lam, what is clear is that it's restricted to Salah, not because Ani is not a part of the Surah Al-Fatiha, and it's not something that we know that maybe this fellah could do whenever we recite the Surah Al-Fatiha, whenever we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, after Salah. So one of our Mashayikh, Sheikh Abdullah Aziz Rayis, cautioned people concerning this Salah.
Okay. Some societies use the camera to buy bicycles for people in the name of poverty allocation. What is the meaning of this?
This, according to most scholars, is not correct. Using the money given by the people who are supposed to pay zakah to buy motorcycle, to buy this. This is not something that is encouraged by most scholars. That is using it to empower people. Rather than giving them the money, say, okay, let me buy this and give to you. So it's like you are saying the people, they will not know how to use the money that has been given by the one who's supposed to pay zakah. So we are going to assist you on how to use it judiciously. So we are going to buy watch, a tricycle for you, or a motorcycle for you, a bike. So this is what it means. So a lot of scholars, they kick against this. So rather than empowering them, give them the money, because zakah is a yearly thing. So you give them that money, they spend this one, next year they come again. So it's a yearly thing. So if it is available, you give them. If it is not available, and if they are not, maybe by next year they become what? Self-sufficient. So meaning what? It is hard for them to also come back. So this is the way most scholars see it. However, in the Shafi'i school of thought, they have the opinion that you can use it towards empower the person or stop the person from asking for zakah forever. Now, somebody comes to us is in need of he needs money to pay house rent. He needs money to pay house rent. That means he's poor. Can we give him from the zakah? Yes. Now, if you have a lot of money, can we build him a house? We have collected a lot of money from given by those who want to pay zakah. Can we use that money to build a house and give to that person? Is it right? You know, if you build him a house, the following year will not come to ask for what? According to the Shafi'i, this is permissible. But according to the majority of the scholars, you give the person what will be sufficient for the whole year, not what will be sufficient throughout his life. So if you want to go by the view of the Shafi'i, a lot of people will be denied. Because if you should use this money that should be given to tens of people, you give it to, use it to give the house or buy a car for one person. There are a lot of people who are in need too. So give them according to what is available. The following year, let them come back again. That is what zakat is meant for. But once they want to eradicate it, you don't want poor people to know. You can't eradicate it. Illa yasha Allah. So Allah wa'ala. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك